السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا الشمس كوبرت، وإذا النجوم انكدرت، وإذا الجبال سجرت، وإذا العشار عطلت، إذا إلى آخر الآيات. وقال تعالى: وإنه لعلم للساعة فلا تمترن بها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما أنا رحمة مهداه. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله. Respected علماء كرام، who are here as our mentors and guides, and respected elders, beloved brothers and beloved students, Allah has blessed us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with such a Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that my ummah is marhuma. My ummah receives Allah's constant mercy throughout. To such an extent, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah is like ghayth, like rain. And even the deen of Allah ta'ala is like rain. And this is the temperament we should have, that how to make Allah's deen available to humanity, like how the rain cloud is available to all people and all mankind. So throughout, we find the history of our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance through his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulls us right through. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned what happened in the past in the Quran Kareem, what happened in his time, and what was to happen after him forever till Qiyamah. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's all encompassing teachings. It is a miracle. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam taught his people, gave da'wah to his people for 950 years. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah sent him, a special Nabi of Allah. شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. Interestingly, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts was so much that he said, I was made to pain and worry for Allah like no other went through. 23 years. Logically look at it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwa, Allah bless the a'imma. I was listening to the salah in this masjid. It was so interesting because the tilawat was in accordance to the events. The last night, Isha, and the morning, Fajr. And the ayah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And yesterday about Isa alayhi salam and so forth. But look at Surah Anbiya and the surah before that, Taha and Maryam. Allah Ta'ala mentions different Anbiya alayhimu salam in these chapters. Surah Maryam mentions 10 Anbiya alayhimu salam. Surah Taha continues. And look at the beauty of the Quran. Who is concisely mentioned in one chapter is detailed in the next. Surah Anbiya highlights those Anbiya that are not mentioned in the previous chapters, and some that are, in lot of detail. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, who's mentioned in Surah Maryam, is detailed in Surah Anbiya. At the end, Quran tells us, but you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sent for humanity in totality. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَى قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً. Every Nabi was sent to his time, to his people, to his community. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was designated and sent for humanity in totality, all times, all eras, all people, all regions, all nationalities, all colors, for all times. So Quran draws this demarcation and distinction. That's the answer. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made such an effort, but it didn't end in his time, because his nubuwa transcended. And this is our discussion today. The incidents of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, there are so many prophecies. In English they say predictions, but he is Allah's Nabi. These amazing pronouncements and prophecies that unravel on a daily basis. How he said this? Definitely this is from Allah. But keep in mind, 23 years. That shows us something very important for you and I, respected ummatis of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there's a great responsibility on our shoulders. He was sent for all times, for all areas, for all regions, for all people. That means when people don't know him, immediately ask yourself and question yourself. Let's interrogate ourselves. I did not fulfill my responsibility. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled the haqq. Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum fulfilled their duty to the optimum. How come this person doesn't know and he's living next to me? Interrogate ourselves, and that will take us out of our slumber and our laziness and our lack of responsibility towards the deen. That feeling, that pain for the deen will come when we realize that who was supposed to tell that individual, my brother and my sister, who was supposed to tell that sister and explain to them who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Today they hear the adhan, they don't know the meaning of the adhan. Why? Because you and I couldn't take out the time to explain to them. They heard it, but we didn't explain to them who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine his pronouncements. Sahaba were in Tabuk. Hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Auf bin Malik Ashja'i radiallahu anhu said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for me. He said, Auf, come. And he was in his tent. So I responded, Akulli ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you want me to come? All of me? So either this is an expression of humor, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so amazing, and he had such an amazing temperament and interaction with his ummah and his sahaba. So the sahabi is asking, should I put my head through into the tent? Because you are in your private area, your tent, or should I come with my whole body and sit by you? So either this could be humor, or it could be analyzing the situation. How do you want me to hear you from outside? And this was how sahaba radiallahu anhum abided. Look at Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's hadith, and this part of the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Khaybar, and he gave him guidelines. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't turn back. He's on his way. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him back. He stops, facing towards Khaybar, showing determination. And this is the interesting part of the hadith. And many of these ahadith that we are to discuss is from Sahih Muslim. From the Sihah, all the Sunan mention them, but this is most detailed in Sahih Muslim. And for students of deen like myself, you would enjoy this, because you can study and read this objectively. Ali radiallahu anhu didn't even turn back, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's former instruction was, fulfill this task and don't turn back, meaning with determination. Then Allah's Nabi called him back. He halted in his spot. He didn't even turn. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him guidelines, that if Allah guides one person through you. But my point here is, look at how sahaba abided. So Ya'uf says, how do I come in? Allah's Nabi calls him fully. And there Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, count. U'dud sittan bayna yaday sa'ah. Count 6 events before judgment day. And in different ahadith, on different occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned different pronouncements and prophecies. Here he says, first, mawti, my departure from this world. Hazrat Auf, and this part is in Ibn Majah, he says, wajimtu, I was grieved, I was stricken by grief. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he's going. Why that afflicted me with so much of grief? I couldn't imagine a world, a life without our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to leave, this struck him with grief. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then count. Thumma fathu baytil maqdis. This is in Tabuk. Imagine, analyze the history, the life of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba were much fewer than other nations. The superpowers of the world were Persia and Rome. They were huge and they were advanced. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Baytul Maqdis will be connected and annexed to my ummah, will be conquered. Imagine this pronouncement. Baytul Maqdis was under Roman authority, the Caesar who ruled from Constantinople. It was under such defense and strength The walls of that city, as well as while we're mentioning this Constantinople that Rasulullah, because we can't mention so many signs of Qiyamah, there's so many. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned Constantinople, impregnable walls. And Sahaba are listening to this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, and he says, Baytul Maqdis will be conquered. What a miracle. And Sahaba believed it. Not even few years later. This is the ninth year, Tabuk, in Hazrat Umar's time. Early Hazrat Umar's time. The conquest started under Hazrat Abu Bakr. As he was departing from this world, Allah showed him. Allah inspired him. And it was the dream of Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hasana. And then he gathered Sahaba and he sent four commanders. Then in Hazrat Umar's time, he receives a letter to come to Baytul Maqdis. Astonishing is Hazrat Umar coming to Baytul Maqdis. We all know the famous incident. When he arrives there, how the Christians handed over the keys to the city. Why? Because Sahaba are described in their books. See what Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah writes at the end of Surah Fath. At the end where Allah Ta'ala mentions the parable of Sahaba in the Torah and the Injil. Hazrat brings the verses of the Bible describing Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So there's so many miracles and prophecies Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. To mention some other ones that we see in front of us and we are noticing right now. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah, Hazrat Hudhaifah's hadith, is marhumah, receives Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to punish my ummah on judgment day. So Allah Ta'ala will bring about zalazil, earthquakes. Before, as judgment day gets closer, there will be earthquakes. And this is a sign of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for those who are suffering through these earthquakes. The other hadith of Hazrat Hudhaifah states, radiyallahu anhu, that before judgment day, there will be haraj and tanakur. There'll be qatl, there'll be fitna, and there'll be haraj. Sahaba said, we understand fitna, but what is this haraj? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there'll be tanakur. Tanakur is one would not acknowledge and recognize the other. Tanakur is to turn away from the other and break ties with other, and it's a sense of selfishness. These are to happen before judgment day. Now let's remember, there's certain happenings that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and we're going to mention it. It means we have to try our best how to handle these situations. And how sometimes there are warnings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to make sure we're not involved in those evil practices. Like not appreciating the next and turning away and not acknowledging the next. The next hadith mentions clearly, and this is in all the sunan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before judgment day, la yusallam ala rajul illa lil ma'rifa. One would only greet the next if he knew him from before, if there's some acquaintance. But if he's a Muslim, but I don't know him, I would not take the trouble to greet him. This is a sign of Qiyamah. And this is arrogance and haughtiness. This is an attitude that we have to correct in our lives. It's very easy to correct it. Look at Sahaba's lives. Who used to make salam first? Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam to everybody first. Hazrat Abu Bakr. Bakr means a vibrant, fast camel. His name was Abdullah. But he was the first in all good. We understand it. No, he was the first in the masjid. He was the first to visit the sick. He was the first to help those in need. He was also the first to make salam. He was also the first to apologize and ask for maaf. In how many ahadith and incidents in the life of Abu Bakr? So the first to make salam should be us. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu says, from a distance we would try and supersede Abu Bakr, because Sahaba would compete in good deeds, but we could never, even if we tried, supersede Sahaba. So this is something important that you and I, all of us, need to correct in our lives. Greet each other irrespective of color, race, nationality. Greet a man with love. If we see a new brother in the masjid, greet him with a lot of respect. Welcome him. This is something very, very important, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also prophesied the coming of many, many new people. We'll mention that hadith just now. Among the other prophecies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hadith is sahih, is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where business will become so much, everything will be regarding the economy, where tataqarabul aswaq, there'll be so many commercial centers and businesses, at nearby spaces. And if you looked at it in our history, not even 20 or 30 years ago, it wasn't a common thing that the business has to be opened all the time, that it is the be-all and the end-all. If we look at our history or our own past, there were people who would open their business even for a little while. Some stores were even opened few days a week. And if there was anything to do for Allah's deen, put a halt, put a board, I'll be back in a few days, I'm going to do something for Allah's deen, or I'm going to help somebody else in his own business. So this Allah's Nabi prophesied, before judgment, business and trade and earning will become so common. And another mode of earning, where a lot of sitting takes place, is also alluded to. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, وَتَظْهَرُ السِّمَنُ and سَمْنُ. Samn means butter. Obesity. Obesity will become common. And if you look at it in the past, everyone was mobile, everyone was doing something. But today, because of the methods of earning, and if you look at it 40, 50 years ago, it wasn't even the way. Today, this sort of lackadaisical nature becomes common. We're sitting all the time and then eating all the time. And anywhere we go, the main itinerary is what we're going to eat, how we're going to eat. And we justify it to say, no, as long as we're eating halal and so forth. That is true. We have to make sure that we have to eat halal. The hadith is not saying that if you ate a little extra, it's going to take you to hell. But what we're saying is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this 1400 years ago. And we see it unravel in front of us. Imagine the purity and the accuracy of the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned many among the prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that woman folk, so much will be the commerce that a woman will start also a business and she will help her husband in trade. And what happens then is the children get neglected. And that also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, and this is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's report. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates to his student Sa'di. He said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us before judgment day, أَيَّكُونَ الْوُلْدُ غَيْظًا. This is in Tabrani, Abdullah bin Mas'ud's report to his student Sa'di. He says children will have a rage in them, anger and a wrath, and they will just be cold towards their seniors and their parents. And if you look at it today, this is happening in the world and it never happened before. That's why there are solutions to this. We have to make sure that deen must be in our home. Tarbiyat has to be in our home. The man has to understand his role. Our mothers and sisters have to understand their duty and their responsibility. And then the hadith carries on. Where وَتُعَمَّرْ خَرَابُ الدُّنْيَا, where places where there's nothing, that will be built up and constructed. And that where there is livelihood and there's people living, it will be destroyed and decimated and destructed. And this is exactly what's going on. Where there's people, it's totally eradicated. Where there isn't, bring it up and remove the mountains and put constructions and so forth. So there's so much of this. Like the ayat of the Quran Kareem I mentioned before you, I recited before you, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. This is ayat concerning judgment day, which is not my discussion with you. Because it's so beautiful. Read the translation of these verses. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. And you will hear it from our elders and our seniors. But I want to mention something very interesting. That's not the actual translation of the verse. But Hazrat Mufti Rida al-Haq Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, mentioned that there's some indication. One is what the verses say. On judgment day, what will happen to the stars? What will happen to the moon? What will happen to the sun? What will happen to the mountains? How everything will be flattened? How the child will be questioned concerning why she was killed? There's some indication. And how Jannat will be brought closer. Jahannam will be also be in one sight. The other meaning, probable indication, ishara is, before judgment day, incidents like this would happen. Like, the skies won't be like the skies anymore. It'll totally look different. Today with the aeroplane, one goes into the skies and sees what's going on there. And sees the clouds and so forth. It's so different. It's different to the skies that we see. And other amazing indications is the mountains would be shaved and removed. And if you look at it today for construction and so forth. And the other is, صحف نشرت. وإذا الصحف نشرت, The books of deeds will be presented in one's hands. Allah give us all the opportunity, the favor of granting us our deeds in our right hands. But one indication is before judgment day, while we are still living, writing material would be common and abundant. And that's also in the ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتَظْهَرُ الْقَلَمُ. Everything will be written down and writing material will be widespread and abundantly available. صُحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And then, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. Judgment day, yes, a pregnant camel would be neglected. But one indication is before judgment day, nobody is worried about camels anymore. Everybody else is concentrating on other modes of transport, like for example, vehicles and aeroplanes and helicopters. There's another interesting hadith, and this hadith is sound. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before judgment day, there would be modes of transport, ashbahur rihal. They would be very similar to big saddles. يَنْزِلُونَ بِهَا عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسَاجِدِ. And people would bring it and park it right by the doors of the masajid. The hadith is explaining to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not like your modes of transport. Before judgment day, people would have bigger places to sit on their vehicles, on their modes of transport, and they'll bring it right to the doors of the masajid. Then the hadith continues, but sadly, وَنِسَاؤُهُمْ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. But their wives would be dressed, but actually unnaked, meaning all their shapes and their beauty would be made available to the world to see. In this hadith, there's many warnings. One is us as men coming to the masajid, that's most important, but also to take Allah's deen back to our families at home. That is of most importance. If a man comes and practices Allah's deen, but he doesn't make an effort upon his family, and I'm going to mention this under the discussion of Dajjal, in a few moments I'll mention that. What happens when a person neglects effort on his family members? What will happen to their iman? What will happen to their deen? So here in this hadith, they will come to the masajid, but their women folk would be basically naked. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That's why we have to have a great concern for our children. Among these signs of Qiyamah, that are so many that we see, we mentioned some, we should study more. Study the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these incidents, we're seeing it in front of us, like in this ayat of the Quran Kareem. Jannah would be brought so close. If you look at it in the world, there's so many examples of how beautiful it will be in Jannah. Jannah is the ultimate pleasure. And there's a lot of beautiful things to do, respected young men in Jannah, as we will hear from our elders. But here there's some indication that before judgment day, so many things that will be available in Jannah, there'll be examples of it in this world. Sitting on a cushion and a couch and pressing a button and how it moves in the direction you want. And it becomes a world where a person wants quick gratification, press a button and a cup of coffee. Such blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in Surah Saba, great nations were afforded. A person is traveling, he can stop somewhere and alhamdulillah he didn't eat, he can find halal. So many things alluded to in the ahadith and in the ayat that exhort us to show appreciation. As these signs of Qiyamah finish, and we've seen most of them, as we can ask our seniors and the ulama, among the last signs, the minor signs of Qiyamah, and some say this is the end to the minor and the beginning of the major. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that my ummah would be going through a lot of difficulty, and Allah would send a man from my offspring. لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah will prolong the period in this world. And these ahadith are sahih, are sound concerning who Allah will send. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will prolong the period in this world where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a man from my offspring. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُوَاطِئُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي وَاسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمُ أَبِي. His name will be like my name, and his father's name will be like my father's name. And in other ahadith, he's explicitly mentioned, and these are all in Tirmidhi, ahadith sahiha, Abu Dawud Sharif, Ibn Majah, and all the books of hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned him as Al-Mahdi, as his title. The ahadith allude to him coming, and in the ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُصْلِحُهُ اللَّهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. When he'll come exactly, Allah knows. He will be a person, but Allah will prepare him overnight. So he'll be a good person. But how to fulfill this responsibility of uniting my ummah and bringing my ummah together? Overnight, Allah will keep him ready. And the ahadith allude to a fact that he won't claim this position on his own. He will be running away from position. He will be la'idh, seeking protection, running away from position. And he'll run to the haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they, the righteous, and our ulama explain, as the abdal, they will recognize him, and the announcement will be made not by him. He would be running away from position. So we find that Mahdi is not a claim from him. This is a position placed on him, radiyallahu anhu. And as he is given this position, the sign of the arrival of Al-Imam Mahdi, radiyallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the ahadith that are all sound, an army would come for him because they want position. And they know this would jeopardize their position. And this huge army will come, and they will be in an open ground called Bayda. And this is from the side of Medina Munawwara towards Makkah Mukarrama, outside in this open plain of Bayda. يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this entire army would be sunk into the ground. None to remain except those few who would tell the story. And this is a sign. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear of this, then go to him. وَلَوْ حَبْوًا عَلَى الثَّلْجِ. Meaning, even though with a lot of difficulty, even if you have to crawl on ice, go to him and join him. And through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come to the ummah. And the ummah would be united. And he would have the khilafah. And under him, the ummah would be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There'll be years of prosperity. There'll be years of peace. There'll be years where many would come to Islam. Now in this, why I'm saying this, the ahadith in Sahih Muslim mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked sahaba, hal sami'tum bi Madina? Did you hear of a city? Half of the city is on land. The other half is at sea. And this is the city, يَغْزُوهَا قَوْمٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْحَاقٍ. Remember these words. From my ummah, from the people Banu Ishaq, they will conquer this city. The people won't want to open. But this people of my ummah would recite, لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. The entire city would shudder and shake and tremble. They would recite it the second time. And then the third time, and they would conquer the city. The hadith continues, but I want to explain, who is this Banu Ishaq? Something very interesting, as we find our seniors interpret this in the books of hadith. One meaning is, Banu Ishaq, possible meaning, a reference to Bani Israel. But that is, it seems to be a far-fetched meaning, because Banu Israel are the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, even though Yaqub alayhi salam's father is Ishaq alayhi salam. But in Quran and Sunnah, Banu Israel are not indicated to refer to as Banu Ishaq. So another meaning seems more suitable. Who is Banu Ishaq? Some say reference is the Muslims, the children of Ismail alayhi salam, because Ishaq alayhi salam was the brother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But even that too, khair is one interpretation. The best interpretation to this hadith is Banu Ishaq refers, Allahu Akbar, to people who come from the same offspring, like the Europeans and Banu Israel nationality, but they would be Muslims. Because in other ahadith, this is a group of Muslims that will conquer the city. What's the city? Some ahadith mention this city as Constantinople, but that is a deep discussion for seniors to go into. I'm just mentioning the crux according to our little knowledge. Some reference, because some ahadith don't mention Constantinople. Either it could refer to Rome and Venice, a city that half of which is at sea, the other half is on land. The exact city, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But what's interesting here, and the point I want to share with you, this is people who are new to Islam. And if you look into Europe and where else in the world, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking deen to different people in such an amazing way. They're embracing Islam, and how they're hearing about Islam. The hadith says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وسيعود غريبا كما بدا. This hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif, Ibn Majah Sharif. The one common meaning is when it started, deen started, it was like a wayfarer, you know, put aside, not given importance to. Hazrat Ibrahim Devla Sahib, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, mentioned Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Rahimahullah, who said that when deen started, it started in a very astonishing way. Before judgment day, Allah will make deen reach people also in a very astonishing way. Somehow, sometimes reverts who come into deen will tell other reverts, which is the way Allah Ta'ala knows. We don't know exactly. But deen will reach every home in a very amazing way. And in so many ahadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned deen reaching every home. In Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari radiallahu anhu's hadith as well, every home would receive the message of Allah's deen. There's another hadith also in Sahih Muslim. During this war, towards the end times, and this seems to be under Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, he would be leading the ummah. In this, the Romans, your Romans can refer to Europeans, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, before judgment day, takthuru ruman, the Romans would increase. Among the interpretations here, it's not specifically Romans, it means those who identify with that ideology and mindset, like the English language. One of the interpretations of this hadith is the English language would become common and people would neglect the Arabic language. If you look in our history, the whole world respected Arabic because Allah Ta'ala blessed the Muslims. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also prophesied in Thawban's hadith, where the leaders of the world will get together to devour my ummah. And that's where the khilafah fell, and so forth, and so forth. Back to this discussion. In this war against the Europeans and the Muslims, or the Romans, in this hadith as it's mentioned, they would say, give us our people. They'll say to the Muslims. The Muslims will say, they are not your people, they are ours. In this hadith of Sahih Muslim, there's a clear indication that who's fighting on the side of Muslims? It's the reverts who have the European appearance. They look like the Europeans, but they are Muslims. Alhamdulillah. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be helping the ummah with Al-Mahdi radiyallahu anhu. And then the hadith says, towards the end times, Dajjal will come. And this is mentioned in ahadith sahiha, in so many ahadith. The Antichrist, the Dajjal, the imposter, he will claim to be the Masih, and in the Jewish or the Hebrew interpretation, the Masih. Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari was the Sahabi who met Dajjal. That was one of the reasons that prompted him to embrace Islam. He embraced Islam in the 9th year Hijri. The Sahabiyah who narrates this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim and Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud Sharif, is a great Sahabiyah, Hazrat Fatima binti Qais. She says to her students, she narrates this, she came out of her iddah and they were called to the masjid. She heard this hadith in the masjid. Hazrat Fatima binti Qais radiallahu anha, the sister of Dhahhak bin Qais. So she details, her hadith is the most detailed hadith on Dajjal. The other hadith is that of Tamim. She narrates Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari's hadith. And yeah, I want to mention something very important. Tamim Ad-Dari radiallahu anhu embraced Islam in the 9th year Hijrah. In Hazrat Umar's time, and remember when he embraced Islam, he was quite elderly. He was a Christian priest. He ran the monastery in Palestine. He was Lakhmi Dairi. But what's interesting, and what inspires us about your madrasa, as I was hearing from my relatives, that there are people in this madrasa, and we've seen, we know this madrasa, alhamdulillah, our relatives who are here, and Allah Ta'ala bless the efforts of the ulama, that even those who are elderly are taking out time and coming to learn Allah's deen. Really, you are an inspiration to us. Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari was not young when he was learning. When he came, all the Sahaba, they were elderly. They would take out time and learn. They would take out time and come to learn. This is a misconception that we have, that no, we'll send our children to learn. Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari became the Imam of Masjid An-Nabawi in Hazrat Umar's time. And he was an elderly man. Allah Ta'ala bless this institute. That's an inspiration to all of us, where you are accommodating anyone and everyone who wants to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Allah reward you abundantly. Even those far away are benefiting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. So in this hadith, Hazrat Tamim Ad-Dari's hadith, subhanallah, it's detailed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so elated with this hadith. Now you look into the hadith in Riyadu Salihin, which is available to you, hadith number 1880. That's the number of the hadith. Study this lengthy hadith. Hazrat Fatima binti Qais. And Hazrat, in Riyadu Salihin, it's Hazrat Nawas bin Sim'an's hadith. The lengthy hadith. Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Hazrat Tamim al-Dari narrated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's meeting with Dajjal. And in that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns the ummah about Dajjal. I'm not going to mention the entire incident. I want you to read that hadith. In Sunan ibn Majah, Abdul Rahman al-Muhasibi, who's the narrator here, he says that I say to all teachers, even those teaching in the maktab, teach this hadith to your children. This hadith must be taught to the muaddib, who's teaching adab to children, to prepare their iman for the forthcoming times, for the times that are ahead of us. Among the ahadith that mention the fitna of Dajjal, it is so dangerous. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even if you hear of him, don't go see him. Because his shubuhat are very, very deadly. He will answer all your questions. And he will make all lusts available to you. So interesting is in the hadith of Al-Mahdi radiyallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to him. And in the hadith of Dajjal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's deadly. But the hadith also mentioned that there are those mu'mineen who would take on Dajjal. And this is in Sahih Muslim and in all the Sunan. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man from my ummah would go to Dajjal. This lengthy hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And the guards of Dajjal would stop him. Now I want to mention the guards of Dajjal. In the hadith of Ibn Majah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Kanzul Ummal strength, the hadith is Sahih of Ibn Majah, and Kanzul Ummal details this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Dajjal would entice every person to forsake his iman to such an extent that he wants to meet each one and talk to them. And in this hadith of Ibn Majah, he says to a man, what would convince you that I am your Lord? Because first he'll claim to be the Messiah. Because in the belief of the Jews, they have in their books of belief a Messiah that they wait for. They were not happy with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam because he came to spiritually uplift them. And when they would interrogate him and question him, he wanted to guide them and correct them. They weren't prepared that for that. They wanted someone who would rule them politically, rule for them politically and take over the economy, and they want to rule the world with him. And they are awaiting Dajjal. That's why Dajjal calls himself the Masih. And the Masih, because he wants to portray falsely that he is the actual Masih and not Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why you know who will kill Dajjal. But continue with this discussion quickly. What happens here is, Dajjal has an army of shayateen, and they offer his services to them. They say, what you want us to do? He says, go to everyone and convince them. First, he will claim to be a Messiah, a prophet. Then he will claim to be God. Convince them that I am God. And these shayateen, 100 on each person, jinn, shayateen, coming to each person, convincing him, you know, Dajjal has come, he will help you. The ahadith portray that Muslims at the time would be facing a lot of hunger and difficulty towards the end of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu's time. There'll be poverty, there'll be hunger, because whoever accepts Dajjal would be given a very comfortable life, every amenity and pleasure available. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, where women would follow Dajjal in so much of abundance that a man would go home, فَيُرْبِطُ وِثَاقًا حَمِيمَهُ وَبِنْتَهُ وَأُمَّهُ وَأُخْتَهُ. He would tie and detain his wife, his daughter, his sister and his mother at home. Because Dajjal wants the woman, and he's making every pleasure available to them. Anything they want, any amenity is available to them. That's why when our brothers say, make ta'aleem in the home, come out in Allah's way, bring alive an environment at home. This is so, so important. Otherwise, the hadith mentioned, women would start following Dajjal. And it's not easy. Because imagine the level of hunger. Dhikrullah, our Buzrugan Edina saying, connect to Allah's dhikr. Dhikr would be the meal of the ummah at the time. A person has to have so much of conviction in Allah's dhikr that there's no food. Imagine how hard it is when there's no food. And one comes to Dajjal, every pleasure is made available. Yeah, he says to this person in this hadith of Sunan Ibn Majah, what would convince you that I am your Lord? Should I give life to your parents for you? He says, okay. فَيَتَمَثَّلُ لَهُ شَيْطَانَ فِي صُورَةِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ شَيْطَانَانَ. Two jinns take the form of his mother and father, and they say to him, اتبعه فإنه ربك. Listen to Dajjal. This is your God. This is your Lord. Imagine the level of iman one has to have to say to his mother and father. This is not his mother and father. Allahu Akbar. That's why we learn. Give dawah to Allah. And we have to make effort on each other that Allah is doing. Allah is providing. Allah is giving. This dawah is for us. When we read in Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ruku' Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. First question in the grave. Mar Rabbuk. Dajjal is showing a person, see, rain and it'll rain. See, growth. The entire field would be filled with greenery and pastures and comfort and amenities and pleasures. And a person who doesn't have iman, and he was a Muslim, but he doesn't make effort on his iman, he would succumb. The hadith in Sahih Muslim says, another mu'min would say to Dajjal, I would never accept you. No matter what you do, I know about you. He says this to the jinn that come to convince him. Then he says this to Dajjal himself, because the guards of Dajjal want to kill him. Then they say, no, Dajjal, our Lord told us to actually not kill anyone without his permission. So he's taken to Dajjal and he's telling Dajjal, I know you. You are Dajjal. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about you. In this hadith of Sahih Muslim, Dajjal slits him in half from head right till between his legs. And he split, and Dajjal walks in between him, and then yuhyihi, gives him life with Allah's permission. This is the test. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min nabiyyin illa waqad anzara ummatahu ad-dajjal." Every Nabi of Allah warned his ummah of Dajjal. In this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this person, when he awakens and he's alive, Dajjal says, "Now you'll accept me." He says, "Ma zidtu fika illa basira." Now my conviction in the words of my Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning your reality has only increased. My respected brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, what saved this man? Number one is iman. Allah's mercy saved him. And the other is the importance of hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied before judgment day. This is in Sunan Ibn Majah and it is sahih. Before judgment day, people will say, a man would come to a man's home. So I ask our students in madrasa, who goes to the home to remind people and tell them about the sunnah? Who got time to go to one person's home and talk about Allah? This hadith says, a man is approached in his home. فَيُحَدَّثُ بِأَحَدِيثٍ مِّنْ أَحَدِيثِ. And they would tell him about my hadith and my deen and my sunnah and my way. He would say, La aqra'u Qur'anan, or iqra' Qur'anan. Please, brothers, I'm not interested in the hadith. Tell me Qur'an. I only need Qur'an. That person who doesn't accept the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll end up following Dajjal, because it's the hadith that saves the person. Dajjal is mentioned in a hadith sahiha. He's not mentioned explicitly in the Qur'an. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who would kill Dajjal, is explicitly mentioned in the Quran Kareem. We have to come to our end. I think we have about a few minutes left. Where's our Munawish? Good. Towards the end of this discussion, Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu won't be able to end Dajjal. Because Hazrat Mahdi, his duty ends off at that time where he unites the Ummah radiallahu anhu. Dajjal, Imam Mahdi is there. The hadith says that Imam Mahdi is encouraging everyone. Let's give our lives. Shahada is what we want. And in that, they ready. And just then, Allah Ta'ala sends Al-Masih, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, this is part of our aqeedah. And this is something I request you, share with every Christian, customer, colleague, friend. Christians are also worried. Their children are also falling into LGBT. I didn't even mention that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before judgment day, يَكْتَفِ الرِّجَالِ بِالرِّجَالِ. Men would suffice themselves with men. This is a sign of qiyamah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one verse. Then women would start lesbianism. وَالنِّسَاءُ بِالنِّسَاءُ. Clearly in the hadith, it's explicitly mentioned. So yeah, share this with them. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam comes down. And he comes carried by the malaika. And as he lowers his head, drops of water fall, because as though he just made wudu. And it's the time of salah. In the hadith of Sahih Muslim and the Sunan, salah, adhan was performed, iqama was performed. And Hazrat Mahdi is about to lead the prayer, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes down. Hazrat Mahdi offers him that you lead the prayer. He refuses to lead the prayer. And in so many ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Sahih Muslim as well, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ أَيَّتُهَا الْأُمَّةِ. Oh my ummah, imagine your status. Imagine your status that the Nabi of Allah comes down and the Imam is from my ummah. Wa imamukum minkum. This is why Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam gave dawat for 950 years. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam gave dawat for 23 years. Dawat is not only the responsibility of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, it's every one of our responsibilities. Every one of us have to tell the world about Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes down. He refuses to lead the prayer. He performs salah behind an ummati of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the status of this ummah. And there, alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Mahdi, Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be there, but not much of the hadith mentions him now. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's presence, and then Dajjal will start melting. And as he melts, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam starts going for him. And the believers are behind Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allahu Akbar, the people of Dajjal, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the Yahud of Asfahan, they would follow Dajjal, they will follow him. And every creation of Allah would say, Muslim, come, see who's behind me, see who's behind me. The supporters of Dajjal are behind me, the Yahud are behind me, the Zionists are behind me. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will go directly for Dajjal. Even though he is melting, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will strike him with his sword, and he'll show the believers the blood of Dajjal. Respected ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then alhamdulillah, the ummah would live very, very peacefully under Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He would be the leader of the ummah. And a lot of the Christians will embrace Islam under him. They would see the truth. And he comes as an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he explains this to them, that I come as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he would then be the leader, because it's clear that he didn't come as a prophet now. That's why at first he doesn't lead the prayer. Afterwards, Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu is under him, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would relieve the believers of all the challenges that they have been going through. And the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned clearly, now there'll be so much of barakah that an entire tribe would share one pomegranate and it's sufficient. And the pomegranates would be so huge that one can even rest and take shelter beneath it, because of the barakat of the abstentia of sin. When staying away from sin, Allah Ta'ala's help comes. And then years of prosperity, and share this with the Christians as well. This is in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahih. I told you to refer to the same hadith in Riyadu Salihin. All this is there. Then after that, another challenge comes that's mentioned in the Quran Kareem. I'm not going to mention to you, but you know of it. And that is the fitna of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And this, the Bible also mentions these fitna. That's why we can share this with the Christians. In the book of Revelations, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes back, and the love, even a child with a snake and a lion with the cub, all this in the hadith, it's also mentioned in the book of Revelation. So my point here is, share it with the non-Muslim world, because they don't have anybody to rescue them. They don't have anybody to save them. Allah Ta'ala reward one and all. Allah Ta'ala accept us for his deen. Allah Ta'ala save us, our iman, humanity's iman. That's why we request, do the halaqa of ta'aleem with our family members at home. Every day, make sure our elders are telling us this. This is for our own good, for our iman, for our children's iman, for our progeny's iman, for humanity's iman. This is a protection. And take out time to give dawat. Go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala for a few days. This will build our iman. Dawat to non-Muslims is for others, 100%. But what about us? This Mubarak work of Jamaat is for us to build our iman, for us to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit in the halaqa, sit in the mashura, participate. This will help us build our iman, that we can say to Dajjal also, because I'm finishing with this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and also take our time to learn Quran, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the quwwah against Dajjal is Quran. Quran is the strength of Dajjal. If he tries to attack you, read Quran. And in some hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which ayat to read, which du'as to read, and then Dajjal won't be able to affect you. But it's not just knowing, but it's knowing with Iman, Allah Subhanahu, and learning the Quran. So take out time. And I finish with this. My grandfather went out for 3 days, not long, some years ago. And that's where he learned the importance of Quran. And he took out time, and he used to go sit by his Imam Sahab and correct his recital of the Quran Kareem. Correct our recital. Take out time. Improve. Don't suffice. Oh, I know I learned how to read that time. That's sufficient for me. No. Let's correct the way we read Quran, the way we learn Allah's deen, the way we do Allah's deen. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.